Blog Talk Radio.
Madden Voice, we are going full strength for the next couple of hours. It is me, Commissioner T, live. You can call us at 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525, or you can go to Twitter, follow us at The Madden Voice, send us a tweet. Check us out on Facebook. Just put in The Madden Voice and you'll see us right there. I want to thank, we joined another website, and the name of the website escapes me, but we picked up quite a few new followers on Twitter. So if any of you guys are out there listening to The Madden Voice, welcome to The Madden Voice. And as always, I am joined by my co-host, no replacements, full strength tonight. He was the EAFL 1 Super Bowl champion. We now know him as the doctor of philosophy when it comes to football. Welcome to The Madden Voice, Dr. Train.
What up, P? Dude, that statement, no replacement. No replacement hope. I'm still
I think you like that one, right? Yeah, man. And speaking of replacement hosts, the guy that's actually on time tonight, no distractions. He might be a little distracted because we're going to talk about his Steelers tonight. But other than the Steelers, he's with us. He's on time. And, you know, you may know him as Ali Quick. You may know him as one of the best Madden players in the world. But we know him as K-Star. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up? Happy to be here on time, ready to go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, you know, we're going to jump right into it. Normally we start off with our segments, but we would be remiss if we didn't start off with the topic of the day, the topic of the year, maybe the topic of NFL history. And, I know that everybody knows what I'm talking about, the Seattle-Green Bay game last night. And we certainly don't want to repeat what everybody's been listening to for the last 20, 21 hours, but wow. I mean, wow. Train, you know, you follow the NFC closely. You follow, you know, the Packers very closely since they're in your division. And I know you're not a Packer supporter, but I'm curious, even you as a Bears fan, what did you think about that miscarriage of justice we all saw last night on Monday Night Football? I've nicknamed it, and I haven't heard anybody call it this yet, the Monday Night Fiasco. Train, what were your thoughts?
Wow, dude. Well, I got to say, first of all, as a Bears fan, you must know, we find this hilarious, and we're not too mad what happened. But as a NFL fan, as a football fan, dude, that was horrible. That was sickening. That was, I mean, my hand, you know, you don't watch sports with your hand over your mouth, but literally, when the call went up and he called touchdown and the guy came back and said it was uphill, my hand is over my mouth like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Did y'all really just uphold that?
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. K-Star, what were your thoughts as you watched this unfold last night?
As soon as that happened, before they even made the decision, I tweeted out that
This was the worst thing to ever happen to the NFL. This is what they didn't want. This is what Roger Goodell was fearing. For a game, he put in replacement official hands, and sure enough, ended in controversy. It was a spectacle. I mean, don't be wrong, the Packers got screwed. The last night was historical sense. Twitter blew up. It is still blown up. The world has been turned upside down as we know it. But it was bullshit. Let's keep it real. It was terrible. It was awful. If this were happening against the Steelers, I don't know. I'll be in New York right now trying to find some answers myself. Like, seriously, it's bad. But, I mean, like I said, I can't be mad at it, though, because I mean, I'm a little entertained. It's good, something to talk about. I mean, hopefully this never happens again. I'll be a little upset if we don't get, you know, actual real rest back out of this game. But, I mean, at least it was entertaining.
Well, you know, I'll put you this way. I think it was a fiasco. I think it was ridiculous. But I had no doubt that it would not be overturned. No doubt in my mind that they would the NFL would not come back and overturn it and give the win to Green Bay. That it was just no way. And I said to myself, I said, if they don't, which I knew they wouldn't give the win to Green Bay. I have an opinion on this. First of all, I agree with you both. And I agree with pretty much just about everybody other than Seattle who had something to say about this. But the one thing I don't agree with at this point now, in my opinion, and this is my own opinion, and you express the opinions of Commissioner T do not reflect the opinions of Dr. Train or K-Star or the Madden Voice. Okay? This is my opinion. I say don't bring back the refs now. The season's tainted. You don't now, after three games and everything we've seen for 3 weeks, this season now has an asterisk after it. So why bring back the, you know, sign them and bring them back now? For what? There's three games now that we don't know. We will never know what would have happened had we had the experience for us. We won't know. But we do know what happened with these guys. So in my opinion, you let them finish out the season now. The only thing I'm worried about is the hits that they are missing week after week after week. I'm a little worried about that for the health of the NFL players. But other than that, I don't think it makes any sense now after 3 weeks to bring back the real refs. And now, and watch what happens. So they sign the contract, they get them back, pension is fixed, salary's fixed, and they get them back. And you go 13 weeks, and it's better than what we had, and it's to the level that we're used to. They don't make all the calls, but it's more consistent, it's more professional. And now the Packers, for instance, this game was taken from them. Now the Packers finish 11-5, and the 49ers or who knows, maybe the Cardinals finish 12-4 and get home field, and the Packers get a wild card spot now, right? And now we're sitting there saying what coulda, coulda, shoulda. This was unjust. I don't think you want to go through that. I think that'll be a bigger black eye than bringing back, than leaving it the way it is. We know what we've got. The season's shot. Let it play out. You know, let these guys just finish out the year and get these real refs signed. And, hey, bring them back for the playoffs for all I care. But don't bring them back now. The season's tainted. It's done. You have a team now that no, forever and ever and ever, we're going to say, was robbed. Clear cut, no doubt about it, was robbed. And to me, there's no fixing that. Trent, what do you think? Am I crazy?
A little bit, yeah.
A
little bit. No, I can't agree with that.
Can you dig it?
Train, just because you said I was crazy, this is for you.
Blow it out your ass.
All right, go ahead.
Nah, man, I must have the refs back, man. I mean, I don't all the other blown calls that they did in that game all the way up to the whole interception, I don't really care about, because the blown calls have been on both sides. That was a blown call for a defensive pass interference on Green Bay's touchdown drive that shouldn't have been defensive pass interference, but yet they call it. And if they hadn't called it, the drive would have ended. That would have been fourth down. But, you know, just, dude, the it's getting out of hand, bro. I mean, whatever you can miss, they are missing it. Everything. Nah, dude, I want the refs back. I don't care how tainted the season is so far. So what? Green Bay get over it. If they're a playoff team like everyone said they will, they'll fight back. I understand the detriment of losing one game. It's a conference game, so it hits double. It's a conference game, and it's a common opponent game with the rest of the teams in your division, but still. If Green Bay is anything like we thought they were at the beginning of the season, they'll bounce back.
Why am I asking? Well, you know what? I just realized I'm asking Train. This is a Bears fan. Let me ask on this topic and get his opinion on my suggestion. Okay, K-Star, on this particular topic, there's no impact on the Steelers. Has really no, not, maybe a little bit of impact on the Cowboys, but not much. But no impact on the Steelers. What do you think? Am I crazy? Or is there something that you think that maybe I'm on to something? K-Star, what do you think?
No, I think you're crazy because, look, here's why. let's be honest. Here's why. The NFL, like, people are – this is not just sports news. This is, like, national television, CNN, Fox News, you know, just main news because of the just laughable, comical NFL refs. Like, that's not okay. Like, the NFL's hurting their pride each time the lights are up and the cameras are rolling and there's a primetime game. Like, every week there's something new, and it's getting progressively worse. The Sunday night game with the Bills, I'm sorry, with the Patriots and Ravens being one example, and now this is it. Like, they have to do something because if they keep your question officials out there the rest of the season, like you want them to do.
Yeah.
And it's only gonna be worse. It's only gonna be a caricature of the season. Like it's gonna be bad. It's gonna be worse. How could it get any better? Like,
I couldn't get any worse. They already blew a game. It's
because there's gonna be more to follow. There'll be more games. It won't be a tainted season.
Let me ask you a question. Let me disagree with one thing you said. You said today's show, which is the most popular morning show on TV, they opened up with this story. Okay, you're right. CNN, MSNBC, everybody's covering this story. What? That's not bad. That's not bad. Let me tell you something. Train will tell you, I ran a Madden league, right? And I had 10 leagues. No one's ever had 10 Madden leagues. I ran 10 leagues. And you know, I used to teach this other guy who used to work for me, who I don't know where he is now, but I don't really care. But I used to say, any publicity is good publicity, okay? The NFL is on everybody's mind today. You don't think – sure, there'll be a few fans. I listened to this guy on ESPN, this fan in the interview, and he says, I'm not watching – I'm a Packers fan. I'm not watching another Packers game. Really? Come on, man. Do you know how many people are going to tune on the NFL this weekend because they want to see what all this is about? What is this with this replacement refs? And what's this going on? Okay. I'm trying to tell you, while I agree with you that it is an inferior product to what we're used to. We're football aficionados, okay? We expect a top-level product. But the general public is not to the level of you and I and a lot of the people listening out there in the Madden voice. And I'm telling you that all of this publicity is only going to spike up revenues. And that's why Commissioner Goodell and the owners aren't budging. You don't think after what happened that these guys shouldn't, like, be – I mean, yeah, I hear the stories. They're talking and all that. Whatever. They've been talking all – I don't want to hear that. It's spiking up revenues. It's getting more attention to the NFL, fortunately for the wrong reason, but it's still attention, and people are going to be viewing it. And I'm trying to tell you. I know you guys think I'm crazy, but I'm trying to tell you, at this point, this season's shot. Why bother? Anyway,
how is it shot though? It's 3 weeks into this. It's not shot.
Because we're always going to question these first 3 weeks, particularly this game. All of us have calls. Did you guys see the Cowboy Bucks game? Did you see the highlights? Did you see that referee throw the hat in the end zone? Throw the hat. Slip on the hat and could have made a play on the ball because the defender fell down. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
And Ogletree slips and could have. Now, in that particular game, Cowboys managed to win. But who knows? It was a one-score game. You know, so I mean, like I said, it's I don't think it's gonna get any worse. I think what we're seeing is what these guys, you know, and let me just say this, and then I'll shut up. But let me just say this. These guys are doing the best they can. Okay? It's not their fault.
They are.
You know, they're doing the best they can. You know, I'm a high school football coach, and I'm athletic director, and I got asked to come up here and fill in. I'm doing the best I can. Okay? Get off my back. Leave me alone. Get off my back. Okay?
Well, really,
I hate that the refs are getting such a bad rap, the replacement refs, because they're doing it they can.
So really, the fault of all this would have to fall on the NFL.
And yeah. And say that again. The NFL and who?
And the owners.
And these are
the ones
that own the same teams.
Yeah.
That are on the field, right? That are getting these bad calls, players getting hurt, game being blown, right? It's the same. And so if the owners don't care, why should I? Leave them out.
Exactly. I'll tell you what. The last thing I read, I read something about it being a difference of each team throwing in $60,000 apiece to get the referees back. I know one team that should have their $60,000 in that pot. I know one owner who should have his $60,000 in that pot. Like immediately after the game, like, yeah, we got to get it back.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
We know it's all about the, like, I got to agree in the sense that it's getting publicity, but it's like I don't think that the NFL wants us to turn into the XFL. Like, this is bad. Like, I understand, like, it's entertaining. People are talking about, yeah, but at the end of the day, it's a sport, and it has integrity. And the fact of the matter is it's losing it. And the NFL preaches, what Roger Goodell always preaches, all the integrity of the game, you know, the salary gate, this, that, and the third, you know, from the lockout to all this stuff. Like, it's not a good – like, I just don't see it being a good thing. Like, it's entertaining. Don't get me wrong. I laughed my ass off last night. Twitter exploded. But it's like, Jesus, this is just embarrassing. Like, what is going on?
Just remember.
Because it's all about money. It's all about money.
That's what I was about to say. Just remember something. You guys may or may not know that my day job, I'm a banker. Okay, I work for a very large bank. So when we talk about money, that's a topic of conversation I'm very comfortable with. And the fact that they are not signing the long-term refs because of money, and the fact that thus far, everything is indicating to spike in viewership and no loss in revenue over the replacement refs means nothing's going to change, you know, until the owners, our old friend and train remembers him, Wingman, who is a longtime EAFL member and former commissioner at EAFL, put something on Facebook and he said, well, maybe if Jerry Jones loses a game, then something will happen because Jerry Jones will feel bad, you know, be like, okay, I can't believe we lost the game because replacement refs, and then he'll be pushing to cut the check for those refs. So who knows? I don't know. But all I know is that at this point in time, it's kind of like I compare it to boxing, right? And if you have a boxing match going on, it's a 12-round fight, and you have a ref in there for 3 rounds that doesn't know what he's doing, and then you bring in another ref for the last 9. Isn't it a little late because the 3 rounds are already judged? They're already misjudged. You might as well leave him in there. You might as well let him finish out the fight. And I figure, let these guys finish out the year at this point. My only concern is the health of the players. I'm a little concerned about that because these guys are getting killed out there, and flags are not being thrown. I am worried about that. But other than that, I don't know. That's just my unique perspective. Chat room is open, by the way. I opened it a little late, but it is open. Dr. Train, it's open. It's been open for a couple minutes. So anybody who's online wants to jump into the chat room, you guys know how to get there. If you want to call in, it's 347-838-9525, or check us out on Twitter. And to all the new Twitter followers, hello. And am I crazy, guys? Send me a message. Am I crazy? Is there something wrong with me to suggest that we just work with these guys for the rest of the year? Am I off my rocker? My co-hosts think I am, but what do you guys out there think? Now let's segue off into our segments, and we're going to start with Dr. Train's philosophy. So, Dr. Train, take it away.
Oh, man. I like the original. I like the first topic.
We'll get back to it. Trust me.
Anyway, it's time for Dr. Train's philosophy. I know you guys love this segment. You know what I'm saying? I've always come with it. But, last year, I want to start by talking about last year. We saw, a ton of quarterbacks just consistently throw for 300-yard games, 3 and 4 touchdowns a game. I mean, we saw several quarterbacks finish the season for over 4,000 yards. And we attribute that to not having an off season, not having, you know, a full training camp, full OTAs and all that nature. Well, this year we had it all, full OTAs, full training camp, full everything. And guess what? This is the year of the defense. What you are seeing, and the reason why it's becoming difficult each week to pick a winner, is because all these teams that we thought were roadkill are starting to play better defense than they played the year before. They're starting to contest the Green Bay Packers, the New Orleans Saints, the New England Patriots. I mean, the guys who we know have prolific offense, they're starting to be tested. Dude, where in the world, who would ever thought you would see Aaron Rodgers take 8 sacks in one half?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the game at disbelief. Like, you've got to be kidding me. Not Aaron Rodgers, not the quick gunner, not the guy who spreads defenses to nullify the pass rush. No, he is spreading the defense, and they are still rocking them. This is the year of the defense, people, and this won't be the end of it. One of the reasons why the NFC West is, you know, is looking better than it was last year is because of defense, because of Arizona's defense. At first, I didn't think Seattle really had any defense. I looked at their stats. Nothing really showed me except they're good at stopping the run. But then the game starts, and Aaron Rodgers is back there tap dancing and hitting the dirt almost every single play. You know, of course, San Francisco already had to be, but you're seeing all the teams around the league are stepping up their defense. And I think it's attributed to having full OTA, full training camp, and now we have the year of the defense. It's going to be difficult every week in Vegas. People are going to lose money. You have no idea who's going to win these games, especially if we also hold on to the replacement ref. But defenses have stepped it up, man, and I'm excited just to see that all. Defense still wins championships around this week. Do not forget that.
Yeah, and I want to say one thing. First of all, I agree with everything you said. I want to say one thing. This is not my rant. We're going to go to K-Star next, and I'll finish up. But I want to say one thing. I am now getting pretty disgusted with Stephen A. Smith. He's starting to really piss me off right now. Okay, I have a lot of respect for him, and now I'm losing it. Because last week, when the Cowboys got whooped up by the Saints, by the Seahawks. I told you these Cowboys, they're up one week, down one week. You can't trust them. They play an inferior team, and they lose, and this and that, and he gave them a hard time. This week, all of a sudden, the Saints are Superman. Look what they did to Aaron Rodgers, and look at their defense, and this and that. And I said, it's the same team. So now all of a sudden, because they smack around Aaron Rodgers, now all of a sudden they're a quality team, but a week ago the Cowboys were punked. That's what he said. I'm getting a little angry with this cat because he's not consistent. He's biased. And I'm sitting there like, dude, I respect you, but you're blowing it. You're blowing it. Because I'm going to tell you something. The biggest injustice yesterday was the Seahawks winning that game. The second biggest injustice was the fact that the Seahawks beat the hell out of the Green Bay Packers, and that almost goes unnoticed because of this damn last play. But they whooped up, physically beat up on those Packers for 4 quarters. Oh, my God. All right, I just had to get that off my chest. I'm sorry. K-Star, any thoughts on what Train was saying?
No, I mean, defenses like the Niners and the, you know, Seahawks, these are defenses that came together at the end of last year or, you know, beginning. But well, I think we all agree that the OTAs and extra time will definitely help the defenses. The quarterbacks have definitely started off slower in the NFL. I mean, there's some that have gotten to a hot start, like Big Ben's leading the league in touchdowns and those, you know, whatever. But like Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, you know, Tom Brady, they're all kind of starting off a little slow. And it makes you wonder. But I think it's a good thing, though, because it's about time.
Yeah.
It's nothing to wonder, man. It's because
honestly, I think a lot of just replaced the refs. And the reason why is because I think a lot of the secondaries are getting away with a lot of stuff that normally wouldn't be able to get away with. They're not calling a lot of those defensive holdings or stuff like that on the field. They're just not. So I think that's something to do with it as well.
I agree, but I also think this. I think yeah, off season is definitely a big part of that. But I also think that, I mean, the, you know, we had three quarterbacks throw for 5,000 yards last year. Okay? That's unheard of, right? That's unprecedented. Defenses are proud. Okay? These guys are proud. And so not only did they have off-season workout and OTAs and training camp and all of that, but they made a point to go in. I mean, many teams made a point. We had playoff teams that had, you know, 30th ranked, Green Bay 30th ranked, and the Patriots 32nd or 31st ranked. These teams made it in the playoffs with incredible records, and then their defenses completely crapped the bed. And so they made a point of saying, we need to fix the defense. And if you look at what those Giants did last year with defense, not taking anything away from Eli. This was a plan. These teams that are coming in, firing out now this year, this was their plan. And Trent's absolutely right. It has come full circle from, you know, you got to score points, you got to do like the Patriots and have an explosive offense, or the Saints, or even the Colts with Peyton Manning, to, yeah, you need to score some points, but you better be able to stop somebody. And it definitely has made the league, and we're going to get into that a little bit more soon, but it's definitely made this league this season wide open. And K-Star makes a good point. I mean, the replacement refs missing, there's no such thing as pass interference anymore. There's no such thing is you can only hit them for 5 yards and then let them go. I mean, replacing refs definitely have an impact on that too. There's no doubt.
Now, I will tell you one other thing that has helped this, to help these teams get these defenses. Now, if y'all paid attention, you go back to the draft, especially the first round of the draft, what did you see come off the board? Defensive player after defensive player after defensive. Every team that did not have a pass rush, they made sure they went and got someone who could help their pass rush or who they thought could help their pass rush. And if you look around the league, a lot of those players that were drafted first round are contributing to their defense one way or another.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. All right, we've got K-Star up next, and we're going to be talking to K-Star a lot tonight because K-Star, on a few levels, got some splaining to do tonight. But right now, we're going to give K-Star his moment, a minute with K-Star. K-Star, the floor is yours.
All right. We said, well, as you heard me say over the past year and a half, yes, we can. You've heard me talk up, and I still believe, rightfully so, the most talented player in the NFL, Mr. Cam Newton. And Cam Newton made me good last weekend. You know, he did. He beat the Saints, which, looking back, really is nothing really to brag about. The Saints are terrible. But nonetheless, he made me good last week. Cam, as we all know, is, you know, the great quarterback of the Panthers. And a guy, however, who has made me look kind of fucking awful or look pretty terrible this past week. And I didn't like that at all because what we saw from the Panthers-Giants game this past Thursday night was just abysmal. That, you want to talk about quality products, the NFL did not put quality products up Thursday night. No, and a lot of it had to do with Mr. Cam Newton. And it made me a little sick to see Cam Newton play so terrible. And the fact of the matter is what made it just much more appalling than it really could have been was Cam Newton's demeanor. Cam, we know you are talented. We know you have no ceiling. Robert Griffin III, you know, Andrew Luck, some of the newer quarterbacks in the league, you know, they have great talent, but no one has your talent. You are a big boy, Cam. You are a guy with a strong arm, great deep accurate throws, just a big wrecking ball down the goal line. That's the reason why you had 14 touchdowns last year, the reason why you broke Peyton Manning's rookie record. But, Cam, what are you doing? Why are you sitting there with a towel over your head during the whole game on the sideline? Why aren't you looking at, I don't know, screenshots what the defense is doing? They're in the cover three. Why the Giants are beating your butts up front? Why are you just pouting? And moreover, why, Cam, why in God's grace, why would you do the Superman when you're down 23-0? It doesn't make any sense to me, Cam. And the thing is, I love you, Cam, dude. I believe one day you'll be in the Hall of Fame. But this has got to change. You've got to mature, my guy, because at the end of the day, look, you have elite talent, but are you an elite leader? We know you want to win. Everyone knows it's all over your face, but the fact of the matter is, that was just pathetic. And I'm ashamed. a shame to have predicted the Panthers to beat the Giants this last Thursday night because, I mean, it looks stupid. And Cam Newton, I don't like to look dumb, okay? It's rare when it happens, but when you go out there and you put on an embarrassing performance like that, you got to be held accountable, buddy. Like, and again, don't get me wrong, this wasn't just all Cam Newton. The defense played horrible. They kept giving up touchdowns every drive. But Cam Newton was just as bad. And he's a representation of the Carolina Panthers. Obviously, he's the face of the franchise. So with that comes the blame. But, Cam, you just got to work in your demeanor. You got to work in your leadership if you really want to take that next step. If you really want to be great. If you really want to be the best Cam you can be. I was disappointed, guys. What did you think of Mr. Cam Newton Thursday night? His demeanor. Not his play, but his demeanor, his post-game, everything. Rubbed me the wrong way. What did it do for you guys?
Well, I'll just say this. I got two words for you. Vince Young. Hear me out.
Ouch.
When I watched Cam Newton, the only person I kept thinking of was Vince Young. Vince Young was very talented. He was a winner. You know, won a national championship. You know. Came to the Titans and started off playing well. But what happened to Vince Young? Started losing, couldn't handle losing, you know, had a lot of emotional problems. What am I hearing about our boy Cam Newton? Doesn't like to lose, gets down, not really a team leader. And then what did we see? And you hit it right on the head, K-Star. You're down 23-0, and you score, and barely at that. And you do the Superman, and you end up losing 36-7, and then afterwards, I mean, he looked like he was on like smoking weed or something in the interview, the post game. You know, he looked horrible. Okay, I mean, as Bill Parcells said, put away the anointing oils. This guy is a long way to go. He's got all the talent and physical gifts in the world. But football, as we both know, is very mental, and he's not showing that right now. And if he doesn't shape up quick, Vince Young, Train.
I think what Cam has to realize is that you had a very very successful season last year as an individual, but your team didn't do so well. This year, teams have tape on you. They know what to expect. They know what you can do now. And you have to consider that when you're out there playing. You have to make smarter decisions with the ball. Most of all, you have to continue to be the leader that you claimed you wanted to be before you came into the NFL, regardless of what your situation is down there, regardless of how bad your team is doing in the game, you still have to be a leader. And for any Carolina Panther fan, I feel for them because, hey, I got to deal with whatever antics Jay Cutler put up every single week. So with that said, you have to continue to be the leader. I don't care how bad the game looks, man. Your team still needs you. They still need you to fight back. So you got to show some kind of fight no matter what the score of the game is. And sitting on the sideline moping is not going to get that.
Vince Young, that's all I got to say.
That hurts just to hear that comparison. It really does. Yeah. Because
I mean, but that's what we're
doing. Look, hold on. I just don't want to get twisted real quick. I really do think Keenan will recover from this. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll have a very good season still. I just think that he's a young quarterback who really needs to mature because it's not all about him. And I know he likes to think it is, but that's got to change because if it doesn't, I mean, Vince Young, and that's just...
But it's a direct parallel because no one thought... Who would have thought? I mean, Vince Young right now is unemployed. Okay?
Yeah.
Who would have thought that? You understand what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying is we've watched this guy go from, starting quarterback with a winning record, playing well, to unemployed in only, 4 years? And had nothing but problems after his first year. And, I think that Cam Newton is a better quarterback as a professional than Vince Young. I do think, my opinion, Vince Young is a better college quarterback. I just do. But I think as a professional, Cam Newton is a better quarterback than Vince Young has been in his 4 or 5 years in the league. But the mental breakdowns are very, very similar. And someone better get to this young man real quick. Okay, better get to this young man real quick, because that whooping that the Giants put on him, that's serious.
I just don't understand why, though, he wasn't even looking at film. Like, he was just on the side with a towel over his head. And don't get me wrong, I watch Cam Newton all the time, and, you know, even when he's successful, he sits on the side with a towel over his head, but he's not really communicating with his teammates. He's not really looking over the screenshots. He's not really – I don't see any of that. It's a little disgusting because, like, Cam, like, come on, bro. Like, you know, I root for you. Like, I'm a huge Cam Newton fan, obviously. And it's just like, come on, dude. Like, you know, it's all the time in the world. Please act like it's not that easy. Like, I understand why it looked easy at first, but obviously it's not going too easy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to carry it away, Mr. Cam. Please.
Yeah.
You have
yeah.
all the talent in the world to be great. I know you want to be great. I know you want to win. I see it in you. We hear it in you. You have to act like it, though. And it's very frustrating because, again, there's no reason why he shouldn't be a great, 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 great quarterback. And not that he isn't, you know, very good for what he is. But that kind of performance cannot happen. It can't. And it just, disgusting.
Now, remember, the Giants had a little something to do with that. I mean,
absolutely. But my God.
Them boys are back.
It's not so much what the Giants did to him, though. It's just his demeanor, which just rubbed me really the wrong way.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go to the phones. We got a caller. So you guys have to hang tight for my moment. Y'all going to like mine. But anyway, 661 area code. 661 area code. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Yeah, this is am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, yeah. How you doing? This is Chief Seats from Detroit, Michigan.
Welcome
what
to
up,
the
man?
Well, what's going on? I was calling. I heard you talking about Cam Newton and his moping around on the sidelines and how Steve Smith called him out. So
yeah.
I was just calling to chime in and pretty much, you know, join the discussion on some of the topics you were covering today. I wanted to give my perspective on that touchdown, I guess that controversial touchdown, how everybody was, you know, jumping on, you know, wanting to jump on the refs this year. But, you know, we'll leave that for a later time. But pretty much as far as the Cam Newton situation, everybody's been jumping on him because he's been moping around the sidelines, and he doesn't. My thing is that Cam, he's a young quarterback, okay. He has a huge ego, okay. Now some detractors may think, you know, oh, he's egotistical. He's just full of himself. Me personally, I have no problem with that, okay. Half of the quarterbacks in the league have egos, okay? Brett Favre had the biggest ego in the league, but it's pretty much how that translates to your teammates. I want a quarterback that's full of himself, or pretty much, because if you're going to sit there and talk the talk, you're going to have to walk the walk. So he understands that he can't have these type of games with it because that's going to hurt his reputation. So pretty much, yeah, you want to look out for you want to set a good example for the team, the franchise, and the organization or whatever. But the thing is that I want a quarterback to be upset about getting blown out on national TV, because you got to think pretty much the way Cam Newton thinks. Now, I don't know him personally, but I'm just going by what I get from him when I see him on the field and, you know, how he carries himself, is that he wanted to come out and do his, Superman pose in the end zone all day. The Giants didn't allow that. You know, the Giants have that front four and tenacious, and Tom Brady can attest to that. You know, I think the Giants' defense is very underrated, but they sort of like hurt Cam's feelings, and so he's a little bit immature, but he's a young quarterback, okay? So, you know, a lot of people say, well, he's going to end up like a Vince Young, and that's a little far-fetched and carried away. You know, I have to, you know, I have a show on Monday and Thursday, and I have to defend myself against Vince, because I say what you want about Vince Young, but he's a winning quarterback in the NFL.
He's unemployed.
That's perfectly fine. That's because another team that maybe that he wanted to maybe play for didn't want him on his team for whatever reason. Maybe it was the attitude or whatever, but he's about just as good as about maybe 30 or 40% of the quarterbacks that's starting in the league.
Why isn't he on the team, though? Why doesn't he have a team?
I'm saying, the thing is that if you are an organization, you have a general manager, you have a coach, and I guess you have a fan base, and whoever pulls the strings for that organization. So they get to decide Does that make sense?
Well, I'm not a Tim Tebow fan, but he did take the Broncos to the playoffs and beat the Steelers. So he performed.
Right.
He can't throw the ball, but he performed. But your point about Vince Young, if he's that good at 29, maybe 29 years old, why doesn't he have a? He's not even a backup. That's my problem. Is he's not even. Backup. We watched this guy. The reason I made the comparison to Vince Young a few minutes ago, and the reason is because this is exactly how it started with Vince Young, and now we're seeing Cam Newton on the sidelines. The problem with Cam is not his physical talent. He's got every gift that God gave him, but you need to be a leader. And what he was not displaying at the most critical time on national TV against the defending Super Bowl champs was leadership. And when you're the starting quarterback in the NFL, that's a very important quality. And say what you want about Tim Tebow. He can't throw the ball. I agree 100%. Okay? A lot of hype around this guy. I agree with that. All this hype and the Tebowing and all of that. And every time you turn on the TV, he's sitting there without his shirt on. I'm sick of that too. But the one thing I don't question is his leadership. The guy can lead.
Okay. Now, when you say leadership, everyone leads in their own in a different way. Okay.
Not everyone responds to it though.
Let me ask you this. When you say leadership, so what type of attributes or what do you want to see come across the screen that you can point to and say, aha, that's leadership right there?
Okay, there's a lot of things we want to see. But what we do not want to see is the starting quarterback when you're getting beat on the sideline with a towel over your head and not willing to stand up with your team. No one else is sitting there like that. That's not leadership.
Okay. So you're saying that's not leadership, but Cam has had that same behavior ever since he came in the league. Even when he's winning, he goes to the sideline. Now, sometimes maybe if they're blowing a team out, he may be smiling like he does or whatever, fooling around with his teammates. But half the time or whatever, when I see Cam on the sideline, he has a towel over his head doing whatever.
I touched on that. But here's the thing, though. He's not talking to his teammates. He's not leading them at all. He's just sitting there. And it works against not quality teams. So if you're getting your asses whipped, you got to come to your teammates. They're looking for you. Everyone's looking at Cam Newton because he's the leader of that team. And don't get me wrong. I don't know how much of the show you listen to. I'm the one who pretty much put Cam Newton in the Hall of Fame. I love Cam Newton. I was just very disappointed as a Cam Newton fan seeing him respond in such childish, whimsy way. Like, it wasn't a good look for Cam. I hope he cleans it up. I really do. He's a big Cam Newton fan. That's all I'm saying.
And I think he should. But I'm saying is that you got to realize this guy is his second year in the league now. Now you have some quarterbacks that come out of the league that are maybe more mature for their age and they ever have that. But when you come as a young quarterback onto a team that you have veterans on a team, just like let's just say for instance, let's take an example, Baltimore. Now we know the leader of the Ravens, the leader on that team is Ray Lewis. Okay, but everyone's looking at the media always says if you're the quarterback, you're automatically the leader. That's not true. Okay, you're either born a leader or you're not. Just because you're the quarterback on that particular the quarterback position on the team automatically anoints you a leader, that's not true. Okay, when you go into that locker room the first day of training camp, mini camp, they know who the leaders are, or the teammates know who the real leaders are in that team. But since this is a quarterback driven league, that's thrust upon the quarterback. And I'm just saying, I don't think that's right. Some players are made to lead. They're born leaders, and some aren't. Now, the thing, Cam, he acts immature, and he has an ego, so his feelings were hurt when he was getting his butt whipped on national TV.
Listen to what you're saying now. Listen to what you're saying. This is a professional football player, and he's on national TV playing the Super Bowl champs, and he's pouting on the sideline because his feelings were hurt. I mean, really? Really?
Right.
Pout at home. Go home and pout. But you're at that moment, you're in the game. The game ain't over yet.
You say be a man. Suck it up.
Be a leader.
He has to be
You can't have to be that. Like, he has to play that role for that team. Like, whether you like it or not, Cam has to be that. Who are the Panthers? Who are the Carolina Panthers? I'll tell you, they're the Camthers. They're led by Cam Newton, and he has to lead that team if they want to go anywhere, ever. And against great teams, he's going to have to. And again, I hope he will. I hope it happens because, again, I'm no one's a bigger Cam Newton fan than I am, trust me.
He's going to lead. I think the only way he knows how to lead is by example. So if he goes out there and do what he does or whatever, then they'll be fine. And, you know, maybe they can turn it around. Now, I don't think that his offense, I mean, that the coaching staff or whatever, I don't know who's offensive coordinator or whatever, but the thing is that, you know, their offense, I mean, pretty much Cam has pretty much everything you need to be a success. Now, he doesn't have huge playmakers on the outside or whatever, but they're capable, and they have a decent, you know, a strong, competent and capable running game. So I don't know, even though their defense is kind of suspect, they're going to have to score 30 points to even stay in the game because the defense can't stop anybody. But they have enough weapons on offense, and he showed that last year, that they should be better than what they are. So
we agree with that. And, you know, certainly no one's putting, you know, Cam Newton out of the NFL, you know, after having a bad game. I think we all agree. I mean, I'm not ready to put him in the Hall of Fame like K-Star is, but I do think he's an incredible talent. And I'd like to see him mature quickly because the NFL is not patient. You know, these
Absolutely.
Guys don't care.
Absolutely.
They're coming at you every week. He's in a tough division.
Doubt.
Atlanta, all those teams. I mean, the Saints are going to be real hungry. If they're not already, they're going to wake
Man,
up. Don't count them out
those,
yet. The Bucks are playing.
Falcons,
I mean, that's a tough division, and he better wake up quick.
That division, those Atlanta Falcons look so hot, man. I mean, wow. That team, I don't see anybody stopping them, but that's, you know, we'll discuss that later. But like I said, I didn't know what else you all were talking about, but I wanted to chime in on that. I mean, did you already cover that Monday night debacle?
We did, and
okay.
We're going to cover some more. So if you hang around, you might hear our second part of dealing with what I've called the Monday night fiasco.
Okay, go ahead. All right.
So hang around. All right, that was a good call. Good call, our buddy from Detroit. Good perspective. Another Cam Newton supporter. All right, so now you know we're going to go into my segment. And as you guys know, I simulcast my segment, so I'm getting my little iPad ready to do the video portion of it. And this will be up on YouTube within the next 24 hours. I'll just go ahead and look for the Madden voice. But if you're listening to it now, the only difference is you'll see me. And, you know, I am a very good-looking guy. So if you really want to see what I look like, go ahead. But if not, that's okay, too. All right, so just bear with me because now I have to kind of transition into commish T mode for video. It's a little different than just doing the radio thing, so. Bear with me for a moment here, and here we go. 3, 2, 1. Commissioner T here, host of the Madden Voice, again, simulcasting live Tuesday night, September 25th on the Madden Voice. And my rant this week, my segment this week is I've had a change of heart. And, you know, every once in a while, I can be wrong. I'm not wrong, obviously, but I can be wrong. I do make mistakes. And last week, I made a mistake. I had a misjudgment. And I wanted to come on the air, and I wanted to come on YouTube, and on blogtalkradio.com, and on Stitcher, and Facebook, and everywhere else that you guys can see me. And I want to say Commissioner T was wrong. Last week, I sat there, and I agreed with my co-host, and I said, you know what? What is Tom Coughlin talking about? If this Tampa Bay coach wants to fire at them as they're in the victory formation, I don't got a problem with it. He's going to play 60 minutes of football. I'm okay with that. And I thought Tom Coughlin was overreacting. That is until this week. That is until I watched the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play the Dallas Cowboys. And it's not because they played the Dallas Cowboys. It could have been the Chicago Bears. It could have been the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's just I got to watch it live as part of the entire game as opposed to just seeing a clip on ESPN or whatever. And so now I got the feel of the flow of the game. And let me explain to you guys. If you didn't watch the game, I'll give you a quick synopsis of what happened. The Cowboys had gotten the ball back, and they had three timeouts, and the Bucs had none. It was 16-10, and so the Cowboys needed three kneel downs, and the game was over. And so I'm watching the game, and I said, all right, here we go. We know what Shiano's going to do, coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's going to fire out at him, and play one, exactly what he did. He fired out at him. Dallas got hunkered in, and they got ready. Okay, and Romo took the knee, no problem. Play two. Same thing, you know. All right, they're going to fire at him. Get ready, guys. And here they come. They fired out, and Dallas was there and they were ready and Romo took the knee. That's fine. Play three, they used their last timeout. And the coach comes out onto the field and talks to the defense. And he's yelling. He's very animated. Now, Dallas only needs one kneel down and the game's over. And he's very animated. Okay, and I don't know what he's saying, but it caught my interest. Like, what are you doing? All right, now the game's over. There's one more kneel down, and it's over. You tried. I mean, you did your little stunt. You did your little thing. You got all your publicity last week. And I guess you're coming again, but, you know, game's over. But when he walked out on the field, like 6 seconds to go, I'm sitting there like, wow, is it, I mean, really? And sure enough, the last play, they fired out at him. And they knocked the Cowboy center back, you know, like aggressively. Like he was ready, but he still got knocked back into Romo. And Romo still took his knee and nothing happened. The game was over. And as I watched the play, and it was replayed several times, I couldn't help but feeling it was a little dirty. I couldn't help but feeling it was a little cheap. It just didn't feel right. And so I researched this coach, and I said, let me look up this guy. He was a college coach at Rutgers for 5 years. Created four turnovers in college doing this. In college doing this. I've had a change of heart. If it's one play to go, I think you respect the other team and you say the game is over. We have problems with people getting injured. People's lives are on the line. I don't like it. I don't like what I saw. It didn't feel right to me. It didn't feel like a legitimate, we're just trying to play hard. It felt dirty. Play hard, I'm okay with that. But it felt dirty. It felt like they were trying to get a cheap shot in. It just didn't feel right. And I don't like it, and I don't support it. And that's my opinion, and I'm standing by it. And if y'all don't like it, yeah, I don't really care. Anyway, check out the Madden Voice every Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com/TheMaddenVoice. Check us out on Twitter, The Madden Voice, Facebook, The Madden Voice. And remember, The Madden Voice is where all feuds are settled on the field. All right, I'm back. I'm live. I know you guys are going to disagree with me. I don't care. But go ahead and disagree with me.
Man, I would say the same thing. I said it last week. Hey, I understand that it's understood. The game is over. They're about to take three knee downs, but it's within the rules. So, oh well, we don't play Tampa Bay this year. I'm so happy. You don't have to worry about that mess.
No, I got it. This one I was really torn on because I agreed with you last week. I agreed with K-Star last week. But it just – you know, you ever just get a feeling and you're just sitting there watching and you're like, you know, it was like, really? Really? You know, I was sitting there watching like – it's like I didn't get the sense that this was just a team playing hard. I didn't get the sense that this team – like, we're just going to play hard and we're just going to try to disrupt the offense and see if we can get a turnover because it's a one-score game. I didn't get that feeling. I got dirty. And I was on Twitter at the time, and I was shocked at the number of people that said the same thing. Like, this beef is playing dirty. And these weren't Cowboy fans. These were just football fans that are, you know, on my Twitter that I was following. And I was surprised. I was like, wow, okay. Maybe I'm not totally crazy. Maybe just a little crazy. But anyway, K-Star, I know I'm wrong, right? Doesn't matter.
I mean, it happened against your team, so you feel a little differently, I think. I mean, Jerry Jones, even last week, had said, you know, he wanted to get rid of the quarterback, you know, the quarterback kneel because it's not a football play. It's not making an attempt to advance the football. And, hey, I didn't see Jerry back off his stance after it happened to the Cowboys. So, hey, maybe he was a little dirty. I didn't, like, actually see it. I saw a clip of it, just the one where, you know, it showed him doing it again. But they're looking different than they did last week. And last week I didn't have a problem with it either, so.
I'll tell you, if I were to play the Bucs, if I was a coach, and I'd probably get fired, but if I was a coach, I would say this. We're down, you know, it's one score game and these guys are coming. No. We're not getting the victory stance. Four wide shotgun. We're going to do Belichick on them. Yeah, we're going to do Belichick on them. That's what I would do. And I'd probably get fired because, you know, my quarterback throw a pick, they'd score and win the game, and then I'd lose my job. But I would say do the Belichick on them, you know? You wanna try to force a turnover? We're gonna try to score on you then. How you like me now? Okay? We're going after you. We're going after you with both guns loaded. Now, you know, make him pay, you know. Or you know what? You got a week. Design a gadget play. You know how the play they do where they're going to spike the ball, and you know, Dan Marino was real famous for that, right? They're going to spike it, and he throws it, but he doesn't spike it, and then he steps back, and he hits somebody because they think they're going to spike, so they're in a soft defense, and they score. Do something like that. Create a play to teach this guy something. That's what I'm for. Fine, he wants to do that. I want to see a team respond to this crap. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's move on and talk about the Pats and the Ravens. A great game, by the way. To me, game of the week. Heck of a game. And the Ravens win in controversial fashion. Conventional wisdom says that the kick was good, but a lot of people are questioning because apparently the entire ball has to be adjacent to the upright. And so that's what they're saying. And so some people are saying by the letter of the rule, it might not have been a good kick, but we will never know because it wasn't reviewed. But the biggest issue that came out of that, and so far I haven't heard anything about Belichick getting fined, but Belichick was trying to get a ref's attention and grabbed him. And according to the letter of the rule, if a player touches a coach, it's an automatic ejection from the game. And so since the game was over, a lot of people are saying Belichick should get suspended at least one game for touching a ref. K-Star, you know, what do you think?
It's a little tough. I mean, with the circumstances being that there were, I feel like you need to give him a break because he's just the coach of a football team trying to find out what is going on. And it's his responsibility to find out and get an explanation from the referee as to what happened and why it happened. You know, at first I was thinking, you know, this is you know, one of those issues where there's no tolerance because they touched the rest. Well, I mean, let's be honest. If we did no tolerance for anything, all kinds of things would be just ridiculously skewed. Things wouldn't be fair. It would just be absurd. And in this kind of situation, I feel like if people want to have Belichick, you know, suspended, I think that's a little unfair because look at what happened. Does he not deserve an explanation? Doesn't he not? Does his team not deserve a reasonable explanation for why that wasn't reviewed? Was it not a play that was in question? I believe it was all those things. So with that being said, I can only wonder or ask aloud why people really want him suspended for that. Like, I understand, again, that you're not allowed to touch a referee. However, this is a situation in which he needs an explanation. We all need an explanation as to why we didn't get a review for that, because it was questionable. I didn't think it was good. I didn't think it at all. So why is he, the coach, the whole head coach, the guy who puts all his time, effort, you know, has a responsibility to find out what's going on, get slammed for that? That doesn't make any sense to me. And this whole replacement referee thing, I don't really want to get into it again, but this is just another example of just shit just going to the fan, hitting the fan ridiculously. And I just don't understand how people can give Belichick a bad rap or a hard time for basically fulfilling the obligation of his job and to his football team as to finding out what had went on. I mean, again, his guys are fighting, his players are fighting for him, trying to make plays, trying to win the game. And if he didn't, you know, at least make an attempt to find out what's going on, then honestly, I don't know why a player would want to play for him. But then again, this is why players want to play for Coach Belichick, because he does, no matter what, you know, want to win and find out, again, what the hell's going on. Like, he deserves an explanation. So I don't think he should be suspended at all.
Train?
First off, the rule for the field goal is that the ball needs to be inside of the outside of the goalpost. You know, so as long as it's inside of the outside of the goalpost, it's good. Now, you look at the kick, first off, it doesn't look good. But the one person that has the best vantage point on that field, better than anybody else, is the referee standing on the goalpost. Now, should Belichick be suspended or fined? Probably fined. I don't know if you want to go far as suspension, but I don't see nothing wrong with the league issuing a fine. I don't care if he did want an explanation. What explanation do you need? The field goal was good. You don't need an explanation. The field goal is good. I'm standing on the goalpost. I see it. I'm following the rules, and it's good. And if he doesn't know the rules as a coach, then that's on him. So as far you know, as a referee, he could have felt threatened by Belichick coming and grabbing on his arm. Miss end of the game. They're already getting a lot of flack. Even before the season starts, they're getting flack every week about how horrible they are. And then you have a coach come grab your arm at the end of the game just from looking at from a replacement referee that I'm trying to get off the field. You know what I'm saying? You see people are angry.
Did you say if he's a coach? Wait a minute. I just want to clarify something. Did you say Belichick don't know the rules? Did you say?
No, I didn't say Belichick don't know the rules. I said he should know the rules.
And what makes you think he doesn't know the rules?
I didn't say he didn't.
You don't think that that kick was close enough that would have drawn a review as they do on scoring plays?
I said he should know the rules. In the rules, it says field goals are not reviewable. They're not. Once they're called, they're not reviewable. I didn't say he didn't.
I have not heard that.
That's not true.
I have
not
heard that.
That's what they said. That's what they said. That's what they said after the game.
I've seen field goals review before. I mean,
that's what they said. They said they're not reviewable.
Let's look that up. But here's my problem. Here's my problem. First of all, Train, I cannot believe the blasphemy that's coming out of your mouth towards a three-time Super Bowl champion, five-time Super Bowl coach, to actually suggest the head coach doesn't have a right to get an explanation. In basketball, which I know this ain't basketball, but in basketball, the captain has a right to talk to the referee and get an explanation, right? So here I am, the head coach. I don't care that you want to get off the field. You're getting paid.
How do you know that a referee doesn't feel threatened by someone coming up and grabbing him after
he's
call?
He's trying to get off the field.
You, and you're running away, and I'm trying to get your attention, and you're not giving me the respect to at least acknowledge that I'm calling you. This guy didn't even break stride. I'm the head coach.
The game is over. It's not his job to turn around and give him an explanation once the game is over.
Yes, indeed, it is his job to give an explanation to a questionable call.
Once the game is over, is it?
It wasn't over. That's the point. It should have been reviewed.
Over.
That's why he was trying to figure out why it wasn't being reviewed. That's like crossing a touchdown in the game, a team scoring when it was really in question, they actually scored or not. That's not legitimate. You need
on that. Any review done after the 2 minute warning is done by the booth.
So why wasn't this one? That's why wasn't this. That's his whole point. Well, he's trying to find out why. Yes, they can. They can be reviewed. I've seen review. We got to find this. You know, for a fact. I've seen Fuel's review before. We have.
Belichick is saying that the reason he was approaching the ref was to find out if field goals were reviewable. So that's what Belichick is saying. When the game was over, I went out and I was really looking for an explanation from the officials as to whether the play was under review. I did try to get the officials' attention. He was coming off the field to ask that, but I really wasn't able to do that. Now, I don't understand why the head coach is not entitled to ask a question at the end of the game in a situation where you just lost by 1 point on a field goal that was questionable by anybody's eye. You can tell that that's a borderline call. That wasn't like right down the middle. And so why doesn't the head coach have the right to ask a question? I don't care if it's a replacement referee. You getting paid to do the job. And the head coach is asking a question. He should be. The touching part is subjective. I think when I watched the video, the replacement ref is running, and it looked to me like he was trying to get his attention. The guy didn't even break stride, like he didn't even hear him. It's chaotic, and he reached out to grab him to get his attention. Hey, I'm talking to you. That's what it looked like. It didn't look physical. It didn't look threatening. It didn't look violent. It looked like, hey, you know, I'm talking to you, and he reached out. It looked, to me, it looked innocent. Now, that's my opinion on that. You know, and the league may feel differently, and if they do, they do. But I don't think that should be finable. You know,
my thing is not whether it was innocent or not. It's not whether he has the right to ask a question. The question is whether he should be fined for touching a ref. Okay? That's it. Just for touching a ref. And you already said it's chaotic out there. So you don't know what's in that ref's head as far as getting off that field. So if you're finding players, you know, I don't see anything wrong with finding coaches.
But the player, I think it's a little different, though, because the players, you know, they don't necessarily need to have a call explained to them. That's not their job. Their job is to go out and play. A coach, however, they need access to those kind of things. They are the information source that they have to communicate to the players as to what's allowed, what's not allowed, you know, what the situation is of the game, all that stuff. That's what the coach's job is to do. A player's job is to play. A coach's job is to collect, gather, share information.
I don't agree that players don't need explanations as well. They have to understand the game as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think if the league is saying that a head coach is not entitled to I mean, we see it all through the game where the head referee goes over and will explain things to the head coaches. We see the coaches go after the refs during the game all the time to get explanations if they don't understand something. And just because, you know, I don't see the difference in during the game or at the end of the game because now there's no time left on the clock. Now I don't have to answer your question. That was a huge play. That play, that literally means they just lost the game. And so maybe the issue is, again, goes back to having replacement refs who their only thought was getting off the field. And a more experienced ref would have hung around, realized this is a big play. Maybe I need to be around to answer some questions. We don't, this isn't reviewable, here's why, or we don't think it needs to be, whatever. And I think that's what it really boils down to, is back to the same issue that keeps coming up again and again, is the incompetence of a replacement referee who at the end of this game shot off the field instead of maybe thinking, that's a big play. Maybe I need to go talk to the coach or be available to the coach.
Can't dispute that.
Yeah, I know you can't. and to be honest with you, if they're saying that, if the rule is, and I can't find it clearly at this point, but if they're saying that that's not a reviewable play, then we have a problem with our replay rules because there's absolutely no reason why that should not have been reviewed unless it's not in the rules, and then they need to look at that in the off season because that should have been reviewed. I mean, to me, that's exactly why you have instant replay. I mean, you have the game is on the line there, and that's a different. And these teams are not only fighting to get in the playoffs, but these are two teams that could be in contention for home field advantage. This is a huge game, and the outcome is critical. You don't want to leave it to someone's judgment when it's that close. People are saying it was good. People are saying that it wasn't. Honestly, when I first saw it, I didn't think it was good. Then when I kept watching, I said, well, maybe it is. Well, you know what? I'm not there, but, you know, all the pundits I watched, it was going back and forth. You review the damn thing. You review it, and you make sure that, you know, just like what we're saying with the end of the Seattle game, they're saying that play wasn't reviewable. They didn't, you know, you realize that when they reviewed it, they could not have overturned the call. They reviewed it for, and I can't remember the other reason, they reviewed it for another reason, but it was not possession. The possession was not reviewable on the Seattle-Green Bay game. Did y'all realize that?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. I did see that.
So, to me, these are plays that you have to review. Those are two plays right there. With teams that are, you know, it doesn't even really matter if the team's in contention or not, but we know the Packers, we know maybe Seattle now because they're starting to look like they're for real. We definitely know the Ravens and the Pats. These are teams that are in contention year after year. These are big plays. That's why I say keep the replacement refs all year. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, hang tight 1 second, guys. Hang tight 1 second. Hold on. I just feel like hearing this because it just makes me smile.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
I just had to do that because we could see teams missing the playoffs because of some of these games already. Speaking of playoffs and thinking of upsets, man, oh, man, I don't know the last Sunday I've seen so many upsets. San Francisco, who unanimously was considered the best team in the NFL, goes down to Minnesota. KC, who was winless, beats New Orleans in New Orleans. Detroit, who people thought, you know, was certainly an up-and-coming team ready to contend in the NFC North, loses to Tennessee. That game's on NFL Network right now. The Eagles, who had struggled against the Browns, slipped by the Ravens, got whooped up by the Cardinals, who are now 3-0. And K-Stars, Pittsburgh Steelers, fall to the Raiders in the black hole, 34-31. So my first question is, Train, is are we now establishing that the NFL is wide open this year and there really is no longer a clear-cut favorite?
The NFL is wide open, dude. I'm telling you, the year the defense is in is changing everything. It's changing everything. It is truly wide open. I really believe that. And it may be early, maybe too early to call it, but from what I can see, dude, I can't, you know, it really is becoming hard to pick a winner each week because what you're expecting to see is not what's happened. And you really can't, it's almost like you can't even take the previous season into account of what teams have done because the parity in the league is now being shown in black and white. It's wide open.
K-Star, I mean, it's time for you to pay some bills here, man. It's time for you to step up. You know, you had the Steelers as your number four ranked team last week. I gave you a hard time in your power rankings. You talked about the potential and you're looking at what they're capable of, and then they go out and they lose to the Raiders. You wanted to talk about the Steelers for a minute. Your team's 1-2, man. What do you got to say about that?
Two things. One, I just want everyone to know I'm not in the slightest panicking for this team, this present team this year. Now, I'll get to that. What I will say, however, is I'm panicking for life without Troy Polamalu. You know, we've had, over the past few years, ever since he graced the Madden cover, we've had, a few injuries to Troy Polamalu that has kept him out for, some time here and there. And our record with Troy Polamalu is 9-12. Our turnover differential without Troy Polamalu is -11. Our win-loss record with Troy Polamalu is 53-18. Turnover differential +36. These numbers are staggering. And when I watched this game on Sunday, I said to myself before it began, we're playing the Raiders. I really don't think that Troy's presence will be felt too much because it's the Raiders. They're an 0-2 football team. They're not very good and not perceived to be a threat. But I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot because I, for one second, forgot how important Troy Polamalu is to our defense. How this man was a defense MVP. How this man is a first ballot Hall of Fame safety. The fact of the matter is this defense runs through Troy Polamalu, and it's a little disconcerting to me that, Troy's 31 years old. He's getting nicked up. He's not going to be here for forever. He said, and he signed his contract about a year and a half ago, that once it's up, he's done. At age 34, he's going to retire. Now, my worry is for the Steelers' future without Troy Polamalu. I'm sure we'll draft a stud playmaker in the secondary.
They're so easy to find.
I mean, the Steelers have very good history in the draft. But, I mean, finding another Troy Polamalu is one thing. Yeah, Dick LeBeau's scheme is very tough. It's very tough for Corrects to beat. But it's very average, very bland without Troy in the secondary. And I can only wonder out loud how many Troy Polamalus we can really find, in these drafts. And I don't think there are too many. There's obviously not too many out there in the NFL today. So, long term, I am very concerned because, again, this defensive scheme, this Dick LeBeau scheme, I don't think we'll be able to run without Troy Polamalu. And don't get me wrong, Dick LeBeau's he's not a young goose. He's about 74 years old. I mean, he's not going to be coordinator for, another 10 years anyway. But the fact that we're so bad, the fact that we've been so bad defensively without Troy Polamalu for years, man, 2010 was on the cover. That was three Maddens ago. We still haven't figured out this problem.
We still haven't added a playmaker to the secondary. We still haven't found out a way to win without Trey Palmeau or for our defense even function without him. And it's very, again, very alarming for a Steelers fan. But I do want to say this. Troy's not leaving this year. Troy Palmeau will be back week 5 against the Philadelphia Eagles, as will James Harrison, as will the quarterback who does lead the league in touchdown passes as of right now, as of the moment, Big Ben Roethlisberger. He played tremendous Sunday. Our offense, again, Steelers fans, our offense looks great. Todd Haley, I'm so happy about Todd Haley right now. That's ridiculous. We are
1-2.
That's fine, but we're not 1-2 because of our quarterback play. We're not 1-2 because of our offensive play.
1-2.
So, and that's fine. And as far as we're 1-2, I'd rather be 1-2 right now. We have a bye. Again, we have a bye week this upcoming week. We'll get James Harrison, Troy Palmeau, Rashard Menhall back. So, I do want to say this. We'll be fine this year. We absolutely have the talent to make a run for the future, man. We got to find someone to fill Troy Palmeau's very large shoes, because if we don't, we're going to suck on a long time defensively. That is very weird. It's very just egregious to even say as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Trey.
Staggering.
Go ahead, Trey.
This is the reality of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's no different than any other team in the league. You are missing key players that you are struggling to win without. And if they don't come back, they're going to continue to be on this downhill slope, because a Palmeau, a Harrison, and your top running back. Dude, that's what the Steelers are about. Defense, run game. Defense, run game. That's the Steelers. And that's exactly what you're missing. Without that, you're no longer the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're just a team in black and gold. Dude, unless they come back, you're on a downhill slope. So it's, you know, the healthiest team wins.
Hold on. I just have to say this. You know, I started off the year saying I'm a tired Cowboys fan. Trained last week, blasted his Bears. And for some reason, you're an apologist for your team. You're sitting there smiling at 1-2. You're 1-2, man. You know what I mean? I know Palomalu's hurt. I know Harrison's hurt. I know Mendenhall's hurt. I get it. But you're still 1-2. You know, you're 1-2. And so for you to sit back there and downplay 1-2 in a division with the Ravens, I understand the homerism, but, dude, you're 1-2. That's not good. You lost to the Raiders. And they're not a very good team. Okay, now I know historically the Raiders play you tough. I understand that. But there should be a little bit of panic in Pittsburgh right now. Thank God you guys got a bye week and can get healthy. But you know what? Injuries are part of the game. I don't want to hear excuses about injuries. That's why you get to have 53 men on the team. You know Palomalu is not replaceable, but you guys have known that for 10 years. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know Harrison is a beast, you know, but what are you going to do? You know, I'm a little concerned.
I'm actually more concerned for the future than I am for the present, only because I know that Troy Palmeau will be back next week. So, here's the thing. You can sit here and call me a homer, which is fine, but I am saying our offense is playing very good. I believe our defense will pick it up. But I don't think I'm being an apologist when I sit here and say that the organization, the Steelers, this defensive scheme, we haven't had an answer without Troy Palmeau for years now. I mean, those stats I just gave you are staggering. It's cost us a playoff run a couple of times. You know, it's cost us games. And my concern is again, not necessarily this season, but going forward. We have a franchise quarterback, but if our defense doesn't work without one man, what are we really on defense? So, again, I don't think I'm being a homer. I think I'm being optimistic for the rest of the season because of our offensive play and the fact that he will be back. But the fact of the matter, he's not going to come through that tunnel, you know, after a couple years from now. It's going to be over. And we got to find something. We're going to have to move on because, again, these stats, this is staggering. This is really actually pathetic on our part to be this bad without him. It's our defense is completely trash without him. It's sad because we have playmakers. We have first-round picks everywhere. So I'm concerned, again, for the long-term future of my Pittsburgh Steelers and our defense. I am. So, I mean, you can call me an apologist.
I'd be concerned about this year. I wouldn't worry. I wouldn't think more. Right now I'd be looking at this year. I think Trey hit it right on the head. I mean, you guys are going to have to figure out. I mean, Palomalu will be back, but will he be Polamalu that you know. Harrison will be back, but will he be 100%? Will these guys be as effective as they've been historically? You don't know that. And what's the plan if they're not? So your team is teetering just a bit at 1-2. You know, it's early. The season's not over yet. But that's not a good look. You know, it's not a good look. That's all I'm saying. For a team that, you know, is known for making playoff runs and going deep into the playoffs, that's not a good look, and I would be a bit concerned. That's all I'm saying. Train, I got one question for you. Just one. And I want to know the truth. Okay? I do. I want to know the truth. Because it's important to me to know the truth.
Okay? We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Practice, man. I mean, how silly is that?
Can the Saints put in more practice and turn this thing around?
Is that a serious question?
That's a very serious question. Saints are 0-3 right now. No one saw this coming. 0-3.
The Saints, let me just say this closely now. The Saints are done. Period. Next question.
I'm just going to say this. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the Saints, but I'm going to say this. I don't think they're done yet. I think that, I forgot to say K-Star. Can you relax with all this Hall of, you throw out Hall of Fame invites like they grow on trees, you know. Cam Newton's going to the Hall of Fame. Now you got Troy Polamalu, first ballot Hall of Fame. He doesn't have to be. Chris Carter ain't in
Troy?
The Hall of Fame.
We're talking about Troy Polamalu. We're talking about the face of the Steelers defense for years. Like, this
it
is
got
the defense MVP, two-time Super Bowl champion, eight-time first-team All-Pro player. Yeah, he's definitely a Hall of Fame player.
Dude, I didn't say he wasn't going to the Hall of Fame. I didn't say that. You said first ballot Hall of Fame. Do you know how hard it is for a safety to make it on the first ballot? Okay.
Him and Ed Reed will be first ballot Hall of Famers.
Okay. Ed Reed will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I'm sorry, Troy. Troy is very, very good, and will make Hall of Fame, but he's not as good as Ed Reed. I'm sorry. Ed Reed is still playing at a high level.
As is Troy. We saw week one. Stop
Ed
that nonsense.
Reed, the best safety
Stop
to
it.
Ever.
Ed Reed doesn't have. Listen. Ed Reed. I don't want to make this Troy Palmo Ed Reed debate, but let's not act like it's a debate. I'll just leave it at that.
Ed Aaron Woodson played 12 years, won 3 Super Bowls. He didn't make it into the first ballot. And he was a great
Rod Woodson? I believe Rod Woodson did make a Hall of Fame. I believe Rod Woodson was the first ballot Hall of Famer.
Darren Woodson. Get the Woodsons right. Darren Woodson.
Oh, you said Darren. Sorry, Rod.
Well,
Rod Steeler, of course, made the first ballot.
That's all I'm saying. Anyway, Drew Brees, NFL record holder, Super Bowl champion. I don't think the Saints are done just yet. Their defense is in trouble. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think they're done just yet. But on the note of teams that are struggling, K-Star, if you had to pick a 1-2 team that you think is going to make the playoffs, other than your Steelers, okay, we can just go ahead and acquiesce that you think the Steelers will make the playoffs. You got the Patriots, Broncos, Packers, and Lions all at 1-2. And these are all teams that made the playoffs last year, okay? So other than your Steelers, who else do you think at 1-2 has a good chance to make the playoffs?
The Patriots absolutely will make the playoffs. They're a playoff team. They're best in the AFC East. You know, they were a missed field goal away from the Cardinals game, which obviously the Cardinals are pretty legit. And the Ravens game, again, ended in controversy. They could have won that game. I believe they did, but, you know, the record says 1-2. So the Patriots will absolutely get it together. The one thing I will say about New England, although they played well, this unit did against Baltimore, I'm concerned about that offensive line because Tom Brady's been getting hit a lot this season, and that's something that he's not accustomed to at all. He's really not accustomed. He's always accustomed to having a clean pocket. In fact, Tom Brady, I will raise you, has been spoiled his whole career with a clean pocket. So, but then again, it's the Patriots. They're going to shore it up. They always do. They'll find ways to protect Tom Brady. They always have. The Lions, I don't believe, will. They just get 44, 47 to the Titans, who you know, Chris Johnson still hasn't had like 50 yards on the season yet. That's ridiculous, but nothing here nor there. But here's Matt Stafford who pulled up lame in the fourth quarter with, I believe, a hamstring injury. Again, the defense is turning points. They do have hope at the running game. Finally, they might have actually found a running game with Mekhi Shore coming back from suspension and playing very well, over 100 yards with the Titans. But they're in a tough division. I don't see them making the playoffs. They're with the Bears, the Packers. I don't see it. The Broncos, that team, I can't figure the Broncos out. I'm done. Can we just not pick Bronco games the rest of the season? I don't know what the hell to expect. Seriously, I'm done. I don't know what the hell to think. I mean, where are they? What are the Broncos? Like, I just don't know. Like, what's Peyton Manning from week to week? I mean, his arm, it takes him a while to warm up during the game. That's defense. It's great defense from last season that benefited Tim Tebow so much. Looks like ass right now. So it is asinine to assume right now the Broncos will make the playoffs. But then again, they have all the tools to make it. So you have to wonder if they really won't, will or will not. I can't comment on the Broncos right now. I don't know, but I do know the Patriots will out of all those teams we have mentioned.
All right. Any thoughts, Train?
I would say one or two teams. I would roll with the Patriots. I just don't think any of the teams in that division can really beat the Patriots. At first thought, I was thinking Packers, but, you know, our division is really tough as far as teams going at each other. And now the Vikings have the nerve to step up in the mix. Sitting at 2-1 and second in division, so it's crazy. But I would say if any team 1-2 right now, Patriots.
You know, I definitely agree with the Patriots because they're in a weaker division. But I still think the Packers are going to be there at the end of the day. You know, let's just call it like it is. This team should be 2-1 right now. And even though they're 1-2, they should be 2-1 right now. And their defense is playing much better than it played last year. Aaron Rodgers is still a stud. You know, and even Train, who loves defense, you can't even ignore what Clay Matthews is doing on that defense. The guy's just—he's serious.
No, I can't. He's really, I like what he said. He had the breakout year with the sacks, and he came out last year. Everyone knew who he was, and he said he went back this year and he even studied himself from the past year and the year before, and now he's evolved. You know, past that. So now they're moving him around. He's not on one side. He's all over everywhere.
Oh yeah, he's attacking the cars, A gap, B gap, C gap. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So just from a defensive standpoint, now Green Bay is really using this guy. You know what I'm saying? It makes them better, man, and it definitely makes their defense better.
Yeah. I mean, he's a stud. I mean, he is. I mean, he's an animal. I mean, I enjoy watching him play. I mean, the guy is insane. And I think people feed off him on that defense. And I think, like I said, I think the Packers should have been 2-1. Even Train has to agree with that, even though he's happy that they're not. And I think that they're going to be there at the end. I do agree with K-Star. I don't know what to make of the Broncos. Their defense hasn't been showing up. Peyton Manning's still getting back into form, but I'm not worried about him. I've never believed in the Lions. You guys know that from last year, and I still don't believe in the Lions. And they're proving me right at 1-2 right now. They're proving me right. Now we'll see what happens. I did say they'd miss the playoffs last year, and I was a lot closer to my prediction than people thought I was going to be with the hot start they had. So I'm just not a believer in that team. I don't like Matthew Stafford. He's a good quarterback, but I don't like him. And I don't like their coach at all. I just think the guy is an idiot. And the fact that he had the audacity to say, we were trying to kneel, you know, what did he say? They were trying to draw them off sides and it was a miscommunication. Whatever.
Yeah.
And if somebody came out, that's
BS.
I mean, really.
That sounds like such BS.
As I say it, if you're watching NFL Network right now, and they're actually showing a Jim Schwartz interview where he says that. They're actually showing where they tried to get the first down. But that's
look at his face. Look at his face when he says that. It doesn't even look believable.
No, it doesn't.
Look at his face. It really doesn't look believable. He just looks like he's lying. I don't know. Jesus.
It's not even fun. So I don't believe in the Lions. I think the Packers will be there. But, you know, one thing, and an hour and a half in the show, we haven't even touched on it. We're going to be doing our picks, but, you know, I really had a lot I planned to say tonight, but we got so sidetracked talking about the Monday night fiasco. But, you know, the first of couple of games that are coming up this year. It's coming up Monday night, where the Chicago Bears travel to
Stadium that is birthday.
To play the Dallas Cowboys. Both teams are 2-1. And technically, just on tiebreakers, right now both teams sit atop of their divisions at 2-1. If you look at tiebreakers, both teams are in first place. And that should be a heck of a game. And as you guys all know, all you loyal fans of the Madden Voice, I'm a Cowboy fan. Dr. Train is a Bears fan. And in a minute, him and I are going to talk a little smack. But before we do our week four picks, let's reveal the week three TMV, the Madden Voice Power Rankings. It's compiled by Commissioner T. And again, I did mine, took K-Stars, took Train, gave the number one team on each of ours 5 points, 4, 3, 2, and 1, culminated all the points, and now we have our new power rankings. Dropping from number one all the way down to number five, and I don't know if I kept last week's at fingertip reach. I got them somewhere around here.
Yeah.
Around here. I don't know what I did with them, but they're around here somewhere. But the 49ers dropped from number one all the way down to number five with that loss to Minnesota. And it was a bad loss to a Vikings team that might be better than people thought. Vikings now at 2-1. 49ers, who unanimously, if you asked anybody a week ago who the best team in the NFL was, it was the 49ers. And now they lose to the Vikings 24-13. So they are sitting now with 4 points in the fifth position. In the fourth position, the Baltimore Ravens. And, Train, where were the Ravens last week? I believe they were in the...
Ravens were not ranked.
Were not ranked. So, coming from unranked... okay, I have it. I have last week's. Yes, they were not ranked last week, so... coming from unranked, they did get two fifth place votes last week, but didn't have enough points to make the top five, and now they are ranked number four with a impressive win over, although controversial, over the New England Patriots. A team that was ranked number five last week is now ranked number three this week, and that would be the Arizona Cardinals. And the Cards at 3-0 had an impressive win over the Eagles. I mean, whooped up on them Eagles and played defense like, as Train would say, I mean, we're seeing defense like crazy, and really put a hurting on Michael Vick. And so they are a team to be reckoned with, and they are in third position. And second position, and they are third position with 11 points. Baltimore is in fourth place with 5 points. In second place with 12 points are the Houston Texans, 3-0. Many are calling them now the best team in the NFL. I mean, they're good. They've got defense. They've got offense. And certainly are a team to be reckoned with. And other than beating Denver, I mean, you know, in my opinion, you know, they beat Miami in the first week, you know, and they beat Jacksonville in the second week. So, I mean, even though they beat Denver, which we think is going to, I mean, they were a playoff team last year. Now they've got Peyton Manning. So we're expecting Denver to be a better team. But those first two wins aren't really enough to make Houston, in the Madden Voice's opinion, the best team right now in the NFL. And that's right now at 13 points goes to the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons would be TMV's top-ranked team. And Atlanta beat Kansas City. Now, remember, Kansas City just beat – who did they just beat?
New Orleans.
Thank you. Just beat New Orleans. Atlanta beat them 40-24. Atlanta beat Denver, who, again, we are expecting to be a competitive team. And Atlanta almost blanked 27-3 over San Diego in San Diego.
At San Diego.
All right. So, yeah. So right now, collectively, the Madden Voice has Atlanta number one. So to recap, number one, Atlanta, number two, Houston, number three, Arizona, number four, Baltimore, number five, San Francisco. And the beauty of this week is all three hosts have all the same five teams, albeit in different orders. But at least this week, we are, it is consensus that these are the top five teams in the NFL as we see it. Any thoughts, guys, on our power rankings?
I think when I my individual power rankings, I kind of had the Texans over Atlanta, and I said it that way only because I gave the Texans sort of what K-Star calls foul points last week. Even though they did play Jacksonville, Miami, they beat the snot out of Jacksonville, Miami. It wasn't just, you know, close game where they just won. Nah, they beat the crap out of them, and then they just kept it rolling and played against, which I still think is a very competitive Denver team. And Atlanta beat the same Denver team. So I just gave them that extra edge because they whipped the crap out of Miami and Jaguars and then took care of business against them. But I love Atlanta. Trust me, I still do. They're very close. One.
K-Star, any thoughts?
They look very good. Their defense was very good. They have Mike Nolan, a very respected defense coordinator, as the first-time coordinator for this team this season. And, you know, with the addition of Asante Samuel and again, the more advanced coverages they run and you know, man-zone combinations, they're giving offense and defense fits, especially Matt Ryan's continued progression to becoming a really good quarterback. To me, unquestionably, look at the best team in the NFL right now. I don't see how they're not first in everyone's power rankings, Train.
He's in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Like I said, very close, 1-2.
Well, if you go to NFL.com, which I'm going to now for the first time, I didn't want to be tainted, their number one team power ranking is Houston. Number two is Atlanta, so at least we agree on the top two. Number three, they have the 49ers, which is our number five team. Number four, they have the Ravens, which is what we have for number four. And number five, so they're not giving the Cardinals any love until six. They have the Giants at number five. I don't get that one. But the Giants are at five right now. Giants are playing well, but I wouldn't put them ahead of the Cardinals.
I don't agree with that simply because no one expected the Cardinals to be 3-0. You did not expect it. So without that, with that expectation, then you have to put them in the top five.
And look at the teams that Arizona has beaten. Seattle, which is turning out to be a pretty good team. The Patriots, we already know. And now the Eagles. And they smack the Eagles. So, I mean, that the fact that Arizona, you know, I mean, I would almost say that you could argue them to be, you know, top two. I mean, I think if someone said they're the best team right now, I wouldn't argue with you. I couldn't argue with any of the undefeated teams right now. They're all playing well. They're all doing well. But for them to be at number six, I don't get that. With teams like, the Giants and the 49ers right now ahead of them. I mean, I know the 49ers lost, but they lost by 11 points to the Vikings. I mean, that's embarrassing. That's just embarrassing. All right. So those are our power rankings, and we stick by it. Finally, last segment of the show, our picks for week four. We're going to have four games this week. Steelers are on a bye week, and we have four games to pick. And the first one is the Minnesota Vikings,
Before you do week four pick, review of week three, at least where the standings are.
All right, good.
Everyone knew we had seven games last week. So at the end of those seven games, we had T at 2-5. I lead the pack with 5-2. Yeah. 2-5 on that one. I lead the pack with 5-2. I think I had different games from you guys on three of them. And K-Star came in at 3-4. So overall, that put T and K-Star at 9-9. And your boy leading the pack at 11-7.
Who cares? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Good job, Train. You had a good week. All right, first game, the Vikings, who are now relevant at 2-1, playing a division game against the Lions, who are 1-2 and desperately need a win. Train, this is your division. Who you got?
Wow. when you put this on, I was like, why if I, then I thought about it, man, this is, this is, you know, with the Vikings, you know, up there with Chicago at top of the division, the Lions trying to get there, man, this is, that's a tough one. Wow. I think, I think I'm going to have to go with the Lions at home on this one. I mean, the Lions, I don't believe in them. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. But I do think they are a better team than the Vikings. And it is at the Lions Stadium, which is one of the hardest stadiums to play in because the noise is just so freaking loud. So I'm going to have to give it to the Lions only because they're home.
Okay. K-Star?
To me, this really depends on the status of Matt Stafford, and right now it is up in the air.
Oh, man, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's a big part of this game. Because of that, I'm going to go with Minnesota, assuming that Stafford's not playing. And if he does play, I doubt he's at 100%. The Lions have not been playing too well. Again, the one silver lining for them is Mikella Shore, looking like they might have a legit run game. But Minnesota playing well, you know, just beat San Fran, so you know they have every reason to believe that they can beat Detroit. And Adrian Peterson is just a wild, wild machine of a man, of a human being. Not even as a football player or athlete, this man is he's just a whole different breed. But, again, Jared Allen, even I believe if Stafford plays, he's a hamstring injury. Jared Allen's been giving problems. They should overwhelm the Lions off at the line. And Matt Stafford right now, for whatever reason, even if he does play, isn't making too terrific of reads right now. And I watch him a lot because I have him in one of my money fantasy football leagues, and he's really disappointing me right now. He's got to get together, but this isn't the week for him to get together against Jared Allen and the boys, so I go with Minnesota.
I am so torn on this one. This is the one game that I just can't pick. I can't. I don't believe in either team. I think Minnesota's win last week was an aberration. I think they're up and coming. They're a year away. I don't believe in the Lions at all. And so I'm sitting here saying, I can't pick. Stafford's hurt. We don't know if he's going to play. And if he plays, how mobile is he going to be? You know, the Lions, I don't, they are home. I don't like this game. I hate this game, but I put it on the schedule because it's an important game. The Lions go to 1-3. I mean, they're in trouble, especially in that division. And in a division game against the Vikings, my gut says go with the Lions. That's my gut. So I'm going to go with my gut, and I reserve the right before Sunday to change my pick. If I do,
oh,
I'll
man.
Put it on. I reserve the right. Hey, we could all anybody before the game, you know, just put it on the Madden voice on the Facebook page so that we can all see that it was done. I think that's fair. Okay.
Okay.
But,
due to Stafford's injury, I'll roll with that one. But make sure y'all post it so I can change the.
Yeah, no, I'll post it. And I think Stafford's injury is significant. So if he's not going to play, then I'm probably going to have to go with the Vikings. But right now, the indications are he's going to play. So I'm going to go ahead and say that the Lions are going to take this one. But I don't believe in either team, to be honest with you. Another huge game, NFC game, and the Saints at 0-3 going to Green Bay to play a very angry Packers team at 1-2. Packers desperately need a win. The Saints desperately need a win. Train, who you got?
Dude, I told you the Saints are done, and the Green Bay Packers are pissed. Go green and go, dude. Yeah, I got the Packers on this one all the way, man. And the one thing I will say about the Packers, what I saw in that game, I didn't see all of last year. The Packers actually know how to run an offense that doesn't require you spreading the field with 3 to 5 wide receivers. I couldn't believe it. But that's actually how
they got
the field.
Haven't been very successful, though.
The game. Huh?
That offense hasn't been very successful, though.
No, their spread offense hasn't been successful. But yesterday they had to grind it out. They had to.
No, absolutely. I was actually noting how they haven't been successful as a collective offense for whatever reason with that spread stuff like it was last year.
Yeah, it's not being as successful as what it is, but they show that they can bring in the big package and grind it out. If that's a part of their offense as well this year, man, they can get the ball rolling, which is pretty scary.
Who's your pick?
Packers, man. Packers.
All right. K-Star.
Going with Green Bay. Lambeau Field, as we all said, they're pretty pissed off and for good reason. I think the reason as well is the reason why the Packers' spread offense hasn't really worked. It's looking at the three teams they play the first 3 weeks in their defensive fronts, the front sevens, the Niners, the Bears, the Seahawks. The Saints are not any type of level of those type of three defenses. I got to go with the Packers, and I go with the Packers big.
You said they win.
I'm going with the Saints. And it's also my upset pick. Okay. Green Bay, according to Yahoo, 91-9. They're at home. Green Bay has every reason to win this game. They're pissed off about the game against Seattle. They need a win to keep pace in the division, or at least keep within, stay within one game of the division leaders. Their defense has been playing better. They have every reason to win this game. The Saints go to 0-4. They're done. Okay, they're done. And for that reason, I'm picking the Saints. I just think.
This is the last stand.
This is it. This is, and you know, I think Drew Brees is a champion. I think that he's, and now he doesn't play defense, but he when we talk about leaders, like we were talking about with our call-in guest earlier, and we talk about leaders of the team, and he says, well, not always a quarterback, absolutely right. But on this team, it's the quarterback. He is the leader of that team. And I think he's going to – I mean, I was so impressed with his post-game interview. You know, he didn't go – he didn't make excuses. He just said, this team is going to be a good team. We're going to get it together. And that's it. And, I really like Drew Brees. I really, really like him a lot. And I just think that this is going to be a game where he realizes the defense isn't going to help me and I need to go out and get 50 points. And Drew Brees put some money in my pocket last year, so I got to like him anyway. All right. Third game.
That's what I'm saying. You should have stopped fantasy football talking in you.
I happen to pay more attention to him than a lot of quarterbacks because he's my fantasy quarterback on both teams. I won both my games last week, thank God. And so I am more in tune of what he's doing than, say, a Roethlisberger or some of the other quarterbacks. And I just think the guy's a champion. And I really think that and I think he's going to take the duel against Aaron Rodgers. Like, These guys have a lot of pride. I think he's going to come to play, and he knows his defense is just horrible, and he's going to put up 40 points, and hopefully Aaron Rodgers only puts up 39, and they come away with a win. Giants, big game. Giants at the Eagles. And since it's my division, I'll go ahead and start this one. I put out, I asked people who should the Cowboys be rooting for, and I couldn't get a consensus on who the Cowboys should be rooting for. It's in Philly. The Giants should win this game. They're playing better. I mean, they had a game where they lost to Dallas, but it's not like they played poorly. Dallas just happened to be up for that game and came in with a good game plan, but the Giants had nothing to be ashamed of. It wasn't like Dallas smacked them around. It was a very good game, and the Giants have won two in a row. Giants should win this game, and for that reason, I'm picking the Eagles to go ahead and win this game. There's a lot of scrutiny on Michael Vick. There's a lot of scrutiny on Andy Reid. LeSean McCoy has been almost non-existent. Macklin is coming back off an injury. You still know that Philly at any given time could play some D if those guys wake up. It's a rivalry game. It's a division game. It's a Sunday night game. I just think this is what Eli does. They falter during the season, and then he tries to get them going late in the season. So this is going to be a game where they're going to falter, and everybody's going to say, what's happening with the Giants? They can't beat the Cowboys. They can't beat the Eagles. They're not who we thought they were. Hangover, this is what's going to happen. And I think the Eagles are going to win for that very reason. Just when people are ready to kick sand on them and say that they're all done, they're going to come back. And remember, the Eagles have won 10 out of their last 11 games, including preseason. So I'm going with the Eagles on this one. K-Star.
going with the Giants. They have proven to have depth at running back with Andre Brown, Beckham, Ahmad Bradshaw. And my concern, and as we remember last year, the reason why the Giants went throughout tailspin is because lack of quality play at the running back position last season when Bradshaw went out. Again, receiver position, Hakeem Nicks, supposed to be playing. Ramsey Barnes set up last week. And let's be honest, the Eagles are not able to protect Michael Vick right now, or he's not able to protect himself. And Jason Pierre-Paul, Justin Tuck, they already made a fool of Cam Newton. They already made a crybaby with Cam Newton. And Michael Vick's been very turnover-prone this season. I think they're going to make an example of Michael Vick, and I think the Giants will win this football game, and I think they will win big.
Okay, Star. I mean, Train.
Man, I think the Eagles will win this division. And if any time for them to beat the Giants, they would have to beat this game and not have the Giants take them. So, with that said, I'm going to take the Eagles this week.
Hmm. All right. And the last pick and the last topic of the day, and we saved the best for last. The Chicago Bears at 2-1, Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall, Matt Forte and company coming to Cowboy Stadium to play Tony Romo, DeMarco Murray, DeMarcus Ware, Dez Bryant, and the Dallas Cowboys. Before we make our picks, let's go to K-Star, okay? We're going to go to K-Star first because me and Train need to hash this one out. We need to talk about this one. But let's go to the neutral party first. Let's go to the guy who doesn't really care who wins this game, and let's ask him who he thinks is going to win this game. K-Star, who do you got, Dallas or Chicago?
I have the Cowboys. I have the Cowboys, and the reason is real simple. What we saw from the Green Bay-Chicago game was a lot of man-to-man coverage by the Packers, a very good pass rush, and that's what the Cowboys have. They have great man-to-man cornerbacks right now. They have a very good pass rusher. You know, Clay Matthews is equal to the challenge DeMarcus Ware is equal to the player, if not better for sure, than Clay Matthews. They will get pressure on Jay Cutler. They will do a great job of taking away Brandon Marshall because they know that's the guy they have to take away. And I believe that the Cowboys' offense will be able to make just enough plays. It's not going to be a high-scoring game. It's going to be a 16-10 type game. But I think they'll make just enough plays to beat the Chicago Bears. I'm going to go with Dallas, Monday Night Football.
And Train, out of respect, I'm going to give you the floor first, Dr. Train.
That dude just said we're only going to score 10 points. Jerk. Anyway.
Just like your quarterback.
Hey, I'm super excited about this game because in my head, both teams are even matched. But even with all that said, dude, we both have offensive line problems. Let's just put that out of the way. And our defense is only getting pressure with the front four. Tony Romo, be ready to run for your life. Use your athleticism because you're going to need it. Secondly, if you look at wide receiver core, before I switch over to offense, let's just say somebody forgot to tell Tim Jennings that he wasn't the top cornerback in the league because he's playing like it. So, yeah. Dallas do have their corners, and Chicago do have theirs. And our front seven is playing out of their mind, dude. So I expect our defense to not only play well, but actually give us a score in this game. Flipping over to the offensive side, let's just pray that Mike Tice and Cutler and Jeremy Bates are not stuck on the stupid stick that they were stuck on with Green Bay. Okay, I have to be real about my team. Let's pray they're not stuck on this stupid stick. Understand that, you know, you have to have a balanced offense. And hopefully, Jay Cutler is not just locked on Brandon Marshall because he has other targets. Jeffries, Alshon Jeffries plays receivers very well. You know what I'm saying? He's ahead of his development as a rookie, in my opinion. As well as the other guys. They're capable of getting open and capable of making plays. And I was thinking the last time we played Dallas, we did do pretty well. Yeah. Now, with that said, Matt Forte, I'm praying that he comes back. If he's not healthy,
they need him. They need him for this game.
That's going to be a problem for his offense because with a healthy Matt Forte and with Bush, I think our running back core is better than what Dallas has at running back. The guy DeMarco Murray, nobody knows what Stephen Jones is about. He's fading away, you know, with the wind, like a withering leaf. So, and with that said, I mean, with a healthy Matt Forte, I don't see no reason why Chicago can't just go in Dallas. Serve up a good game. It won't be a beatdown, but it'll definitely be a good one. It'll definitely be a close one, but just bring home that win. Don't you agree, T?
Well, here I go. It's time for T-Bonics Part 2. All right. You know, for years, the Chicago Bears have been known for their defense, right? For years. That's the one thing you know about the Chicago Bears. Back when Buddy Ryan was a part of that team, right? Back when Mike Ditka was a part of that team, right? And then Lovie Smith comes in, defensive-minded coach. You know that the Bears are going to bring the defense. But this year, the Cowboys' defense has not given up more than 17 points in 3 weeks. Remember, they got beat 27-7, but the defense only gave up 17. It was the special teams that gave up 10 points. The defense played lights out against the Buccaneers, the same Buccaneers team that put up how many points against the vaunted Giants defense? And yet, and couldn't score on Dallas, one touchdown on Dallas, on their defense. Starting safety, Gerald Sensabaugh was out. No problem. Take your $50 million cornerback and move him back to safety. Take your first-round draft pick, Mike Jenkins, who is back, and put him at cornerback. You got Jenkins. You got Skandrick. You got your first-round number six pick, Mo Claiborne, as your other corner. No problem. Try to pass the ball on. It wasn't working. Our linebacker, Sean Lee, Bruce Carter, and, of course, DeMarcus Ware. I mean, what I'm seeing on defense this year, I haven't seen from Dallas in years. Not even Wade Phillips, who is the defensive guru doing his thing over there in Houston, ever had a defense that has played this well, this early. These guys are shutting down offenses right now. The problem, as Train did allude to, is offensive line has problems. That's the problem. That said, I expect Bill Callahan to address that this week. I expect Bill Callahan, who's considered widely former head coach, one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL, to do something about that. I expect DeMarco Murray to get better looks. Romo is going to be running around a little bit, but that's Romo's game. Dez Bryant, Miles Austin are healthy. Jason Witten is going to play, and he's going to make a statement. Jason Witten has had two poor games. Jason Witten hasn't had two poor games in his entire 10-year career, and he played two poor games. Dropped a sure touchdown last week against Tampa Bay. You best believe Jason Witten will not do that against Chicago. And I'm just going to say this. Jay Cutler and Tony Romo have both been compared to Brett Favre, the gunslinger freestyling mentality. And this game's going to boil down to which quarterback makes less mistakes. And I just think that Romo is going to make less mistakes than Mr. Cutler. I've never had faith in him, and I sure don't have faith in him coming into Dallas playing our revamped, very solid defense. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game. But I think Dallas is going to finally play 60 minutes of football and send a message to the NFC that we're a team to be reckoned with, and they're going to beat these Bears and going to send them home hurting. That's what I say. That's all I'm talking about.
You almost made me a Dallas Cowboys fan there talking about it.
That's what I'm saying. There's room, man. We take converts, man. We do, man. You know, but that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So, it's going to be a good game, man, and it's next Monday night. Chicago goes into Dallas to play the Cowboys, and then me and Train will have to face off again. And let's just hope and pray that we're not.
I was about to. I was thinking.
Man,
it's going all over my
mind
now. Oh,
my God. Let's just hope
and
pray.
I was also thinking the same thing. We don't have to say. We already know what it is.
Yeah, well, let's just hope and pray that this game is decided on the field. As the Madden voice says, all feuds are settled on the field. Let's hope this game is settled on the field and not in the replay booth and not in the referee's hands. Let's just hope with all the games next week that that's the case. All right. K-Star, any final thoughts? You've got a week off. Your Steelers got a week off. Any final thoughts?
No, I just want to see Peyton Manning continue to play. I want to see Peyton Manning play a very consistent game from first quarter through fourth quarter. They put the Raiders. Ben had about 400 yards, four touchdowns. I want to see what Peyton Manning can do against them. I think it's really, really important for Peyton Manning to get on the roll. If the Broncos, we can't figure out right now, it would help us greatly if Peyton Manning went on a roll so we can actually maybe establish who the Broncos are because, again, we really don't know. If Peyton Manning plays well, you know, maybe the Broncos or something. If he continues to, you know, be hot and cold, then it could be a long year for the Broncos. So that's a very intriguing game for me. See if Peyton Manning can put together a complete game from first to fourth quarter. Looking forward to watching. And I cannot wait to see the outcome of the Bears-Cowboys game. Let me just put that out there. Train. Trey and T. This is big time right here. Whoever, I feel like there should be a bet on this game. I'm not sure what the bet should be. I'm not sure whatsoever. I'm not sure what can be founded within this between now and Monday. But you guys got to come up with something.
I agree.
We need to find something out. We got to figure something out.
We need to wager something. A friendly wager. The loser has to do something. I don't know what, man, but the loser has to do something. Let's think about that. And this will be on the Facebook page. Once we come up with what it is, just to go to facebook.com/TheMaddenVoice, and our wager will be there. Train, any final comments or thoughts?
Well, definitely ditto on what K-Star just said. I'm super excited about this Monday night football game coming up, dude. Finally, I mean, you look forward to the game where your teams are playing playoff caliber teams, and the teams are trying to make a run for the Super Bowl. We know every team is trying to make a run for the Super Bowl, but we know Dallas and Chicago geared up this off season to really make a run for the Super Bowl because they feel like they're right there at the doorstep. So, dude, this is about to be it's about to be an exciting game. It's about to be an exciting week for football. Like I said, dude, this is the year of the defense. We will see more of it starting on Thursday, going all the way through this weekend. Don't be surprised if the Browns give Baltimore, a little trouble at the beginning of the game. I'm sure Baltimore will close it out, but don't be surprised if the Browns don't come in there, you know what I'm saying, with a chip on their shoulder. But with that said, dude, it is homecoming week for Tennessee State University. We are celebrating 100 years of our university being in existence. So, yeah, I'll be in Nashville this weekend. And full of a lot of liquor. Have a good one. Night, I gotta get ready for the Sunday fight. Now, I'm as smooth as a chocolate swirl. I dance a little funky, so watch me, girl. There's no one here that doesn't like me. My Super Bowl shuffle will set you free. I just feel like I gave a speech to the background music.
You did. You did. That was a Super Bowl shuffle, man. I was playing a Super Bowl shuffle just for you, man. You know?
I appreciate it.
Only to say, eh-eh, as Stone Cold Steve Austin would say, eh-eh, not this week. All right. Train, appreciate those final comments. K-Star, appreciate those final comments. But now it's Commissioner T's going to close the show. And all I have to say before I close the show is the Bears are going down this week. That's all I'm saying. The Bears are going down. Dallas is 2-1, okay? We're 2-1. The Bears are 2-1. This is the week that we make a statement. We haven't played 60 minutes all year. We haven't played it. Played a good game against the Giants. I don't know what the heck happened against Seattle, but maybe Seattle's a better team than people thought. Dallas just wasn't ready, okay? Came back, rebounded, tough game against the Bucks. Bucks didn't play well, but Dallas had something to do with it. We're at home. The Bears are coming to town. 2-1. It's time the Cowboys make a statement. This was a playoff. Well, no, actually, they weren't a playoff team, but they are usually a playoff team under Cutler, right? They've been in the playoffs before. Maybe not. I don't know. Train will tell us that next week. Doesn't matter because they're going to 2-2. Cowboys are going to take them out. Watch DeMarcus Ware. That's all I'm going to say. Player of the game right now is DeMarcus Ware. You heard it from me. DeMarcus Ware. That's all I got to say about that. I want to thank Dr. Train. I want to thank K-Star. Don't forget, guys, you can check out these guys and just look at the Madden Voice on Twitter, and you can see Ali Quick and Dr. M's Twitter, and follow these guys too, okay? Don't just follow me. Follow them too. They got some interesting things to say. Check us out on Facebook, The Madden Voice. Check us out on Twitter, at The Madden Voice. If you just go to Google and search The Madden Voice, you'll find us. And we're going more and more and more places. We're taking the show to many different sites, and we just want to be accessible. We want to thank Blog Talk Radio as a great partner and the host of our show. And we also want to thank iTunes because I know a lot of people download the show from iTunes, and we appreciate that. So for Train, for K-Star, for myself, Commissioner T, we want to say thank you very much for tuning into the Madden Voice, and we will see you next Tuesday night. And join us because here on the Madden Voice, and particularly next Monday night, Cowboys and Bears, all feuds will be settled on the field. We'll be right back.
Yeah.